Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldreyer, and today Masechus Basra Daf Chavav, the second parakel Yachbor. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, when the household of Barmerion would beat their flax, the raksa, the chaff, would fly off and harm people. Ravina ruled that they do not need to move away because the law of giri delay is only the ka'azl makocho, where the damaging item moves through his force, whereas this chaff, ziku dekamamtila, it's the wind which carries it until it damages, and it's not the responsibility. Mar Bar Avashi asks, how is this different from Zora Baruch Masaito, one who winnows on Shabbos with the wind's assistance, who is chayiv? Marimer held it is similar to winnowing on Shabbos and would require the flax beaters to move. Rashi explains that Ravina can reject the comparison to Shabbos, which is liable for Melechus Machshevus, purposeful labor, and liable even when harnessing an outside force. The Gemara further challenges Ravina. How is flying chaff different from Gates Hayoti Metachas Apatish, a spark which shoots out from a blacksmith's hammer, where one is chayiv for its damages? It answers, Hasam Nichele de Lezel. There, the blacksmith prefers that the spark should fly away from his own property and strikes hard enough that the sparks fly off without the wind. Whereas here, he does not prefer that the chaff leave his property and it would remain if not for the wind. Point number two, the next mission teaches that if roots of one's tree extend into a neighbor's property, he may dig three tefachim down and remove any roots so they should not block the plow. And if he digs a pit, he may cut the roots downwards as far as he needs. Va'etzim shelo, and the wood is his. Rav Chisa was asked, who owns the wood? And he quoted a Mishnah stating that if roots of a privately owned tree extend into Hekdish property, well, then one may not benefit from the roots, which is rabbinically prohibited, but does not transgress Me'ilah for benefiting from them. The roots must belong to the tree's owner, for otherwise they would be Hekdish and would incur Me'ilah. However, the Gemara asks that the reverse can be proven from the Seifa, that if roots of Hekdish extend into private property, they also do not incur Me'ilah, indicating that they do belong to the property owner. Rather, the Mishnah is discussing roots which grew after the tree was declared Hekdish, and the Tana holds a Me'ilah begidulin. There is not Me'ilah for new growth, and nothing can be proven from the Mishnah. Ravina said that the first case refers to roots within 16 amas of the tree which belong to the tree's owner, since they provide the primary nourishment, and the second case refers to roots beyond 16 amas. And point number three, Ula said, Ilan asamacha meitz betoch sheishas riyama, a tree which is within 16 amas of the boundary, Gazlanu, is a robber by drawing nourishment from the neighboring field. And therefore one does not bring bikurim from its fruits. Rashi explains that because the Torah commanded to bring bikurim from fruit which you bring from your land, so fruit which drew nourishment from another person's land is exempt. The Gemara will seek the source that trees derive nourishment from within 16 amos. On Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Rav Dimi quotes Rabbi Yochanan making the same ruling. However, Ravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that whether a tree is planted near a boundary or its branches extend over a neighbor's property, one brings bikurim from its fruit and recites the bikurim psukim. Shalmanasken hincha Yeshua Yisrael as the arts, for it was on this condition of allowing this practice that Yehoshua apportioned Eretz Yisrael to Israel. So once again, the 3 points are number one, when the household of Barmerion would beat their flax, the raksa, the chaff, would fly off and harm people. Ravina ruled that they do not need to move away because the law of giri delay is only the ka'azl makocho, where the damaging item moves through his force, whereas this chaff, ziku dekamamtila, it's the wind which carries it until it damages, and it's not the responsibility. Mar Bar Avashi asks, how is this different from Zora Baruch Masaito, one who winnows on Shabbos with the wind's assistance, who is chayiv? Marimer held it is similar to winnowing on Shabbos and would require the flax beaters to move. Rashi explains that Ravina can reject the comparison to Shabbos, which is liable for Melechus Machshevus, purposeful labor, and liable even when harnessing an outside force. The Gemara further challenges Ravina. How is flying chaff different from Gates Hayoti Metachas Apatish, a spark which shoots out from a blacksmith's hammer, where one is chayiv for its damages? It answers, Hasam Nichele de Lezel. There, the blacksmith prefers that the spark should fly away from his own property and strikes hard enough that the sparks fly off without the wind. Whereas here, he does not prefer that the chaff leave his property and it would remain if not for the wind. Point number two, the next mission teaches that if roots of one's tree extend into a neighbor's property, he may dig three tefachim down and remove any roots so they should not block the plow. And if he digs a pit, he may cut the roots downwards as far as he needs. Va'etzim shelo, and the wood is his. Rav Chisa was asked, who owns the wood? And he quoted a Mishnah stating that if roots of a privately owned tree extend into Hekdish property, well, then one may not benefit from the roots, which is rabbinically prohibited, but does not transgress Me'ilah for benefiting from them. The roots must belong to the tree's owner, for otherwise they would be hektish and would incur me'ilah. However, the Gemara asks that the reverse can be proven from the Seifa, that if roots of hektish extend into private property, they also do not incur me'ilah, indicating that they do belong to the property owner. Rather, the Mishnah is discussing roots which grew after the tree was declared hektish, and the Tana holds ein me'ilah begidulin. There is not me'ilah for new growth, and nothing can be proven from the Mishnah. Ravina said that the first case refers to roots within 16 amas of the tree which belong to the tree's owner, since they provide the primary nourishment, and the second case refers to roots beyond 16 amas. And point number three, Ula said, Ilan asamach ha'metzah b'toch sheishas riyama, a tree which is within 16 amas of the boundary, Gazlanu, is a robber by drawing nourishment from the neighboring field. And therefore, one does not bring bikurim from its fruits. Rashi explains that because the Torah commanded to bring bikurim from fruit which you bring from your land, so fruit which drew nourishment from another person's land is exempt. The Gemara will seek the source that trees derive nourishment from within 16 amos. On Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Rav Dimi quotes Rav Yochanan making the same ruling. However, Ravin quoted Rav Yochanan saying that whether a tree is planted near a boundary, or its branches extend over a neighbor's property, one brings bikurim from its fruit and recites the bikurim psukim. Shalmanasken hincha Yeshua Yisrael as arts, for it was on this condition of allowing this practice that Yehoshua apportioned Eretz Yisrael to Yisrael. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chavav, and our standard siman is a military coup. A military coup, so here goes. The Barmerian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flags and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, while others were making a fire using wood from the roots of a tree that extended into their pit, and guarding the robber tree planted within 16 amos of a neighbor's boundary, which was putter from Bikurim. Once again, slow motion. The Barmerian soldiers during a military coup, that must be more on Daf Chavav. The Barmerian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, which reminds us, when the household of the Barmerian would beat their flax, the rocks of the chaff would fly off and harm people. Ravina ruled they do not need to move away because the law of Giri Delay is only the Ka'azim Makocho, where the damaging item moves through its force, whereas this chaff, Ziku de Kamamtile, it's the wind which carries it until it damages and it's not the responsibility. Marba Ravashi asks, how is this different from Zora winnowing on Shabbos with the wind's assistance? Who's liable? Maramer held it is similar to winnowing on Shabbos and would require the flax beaters to move. Rashi explains that Ravina can reject the comparison to Shabbos, which is liable for Malachas Masheves, purpose of labor, and liable even in harnessing an outside force. So the Barmerian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, while others were making a fire using wood from the roots of a tree that extended into their pit, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if roots of one's tree extend into a neighbor's property, he may dig three tefachim down and remove any roots so they should not block the plow, and if he digs a pit, he may cut the roots downwards as far as he needs, but Eitzim Shalo, and the wood is his. So the Barmerian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, while others were making a fire using wood from the roots of a tree that extended into their pit, and were guarding the robber tree planted within 60 amos of a neighbor's boundary, which was putter from Bikurim, which reminds us, Ula said, Ilan asamach ha'metz b'tok sheishas riyama, a tree which is within 16 amas of the boundary, gazlanu, it's a robber, by drawing nourishment from the neighboring field, ve'ein mavin mimena Bikurim, and therefore one does not bring Bikurim from its fruits. Rashi explains that because the Torah commanded to bring Bikurim from fruit, which you should bring from your land, so fruit which drew nourishment from another person's land is exempt. However, Ravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan is saying that whether a tree is planted near a boundary or its branches extend over a neighbor's property, one brings bikurim from its fruit and recites the bikurim psukim, shalmanasken hincho Yeshua Yisrael as arts, for it was on this condition of allowing this practice that Yehoshua apportioned Eretz Yisrael to Yisrael. So once again, the Barmerian soldiers during a military coup were beating their flax and didn't realize that the windblown chaff was harming their enemies, while others were making a fire using wood from the roots of a tree that extended into their pit, and regarding the robber tree planted within 16 amas of a neighbor's boundary, which was putter from bikurim. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Chav Beis. So the simon Daf Chav Beis is a cab, a taxi cab. So here goes. After the traveling cosmetic salesman took a cab to town, where he set up shop since he was a surba merabanan, which reminds us, Ezra decreed that rochin, peddlers of cosmetics, can go from town to town to sell and can't be prevented by local salesmen, so that cosmetics will be available to Benos Yisrael, provided that they eventually leave, unless they are surba merabanan who are permitted to set up shop, since going around will distract them from their learning. So after the traveling cosmetic salesman took a cab to town, where he set up shop since he was a Subra Murabanan, in the space between two walls so his customers would tread the ground, strengthening it, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishia Kosel Samach Kosel Chaver, one whose wall was near his neighbor's wall, Lo Yismachu Kosel Acher, he may not place another wall near the neighbor's wall unless he distances it, Dalad Amos, from the neighbor's wall. Rava says the Mishnah's case is where the first wall was near his neighbor's wall, at a distance of Dalad Amos, and after it fell, he could not build a second wall closer than those Dalad Amos. The reason is that Davsha Dahacha Mali Lohasim, the treading, meaning the people walking here between the walls, is beneficial there to the ground under his wall by strengthening the ground underneath. So after the traveling cosmetic salesman took a cab to town, where he set up shop since he was a Subra Murabanan, in the space between two walls so his customers would tread the ground strengthening it, he made sure his ladder displaying his cosmetics was at least Dalad Amos away from a nearby Davkot, because Ramba bin Nizakin Aser, although he's pater from paying, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Marchik Nesasul Mina Shovach Arba Amos, one must distance the ladder Dalad Amos from a neighbor's Davkot, Kadei Shaloi Tikbots and Nemiya, so that a Martin should not jump from the ladder into the Davkot. Rav Tuvia Bar Masna said, Zosomer is Gramba bin Nizakin Aser. This Mishnah teaches the cause of damages is forbidden, although exempt from paying. Daf Chaf Gimel. So the similar Daf Chaf Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. The boys getting bloody playing Kugelach under a date tree where a bloodletter worked watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because Ein Chazaka Linizakin, and heard one of the bloodletter's clients disclose that he had no idea how his seller had obtained the rights to keep a dovecote so close to town, and that the dove found nearby was his because it couldn't fly yet, and the principle of Rov Vakarov doesn't apply to it. Once again, slow motion. The boys getting bloody playing Kugelach, that must move on Daf Chav Gimel. The boys getting bloody playing Kugelach under a date tree where a bloodletter worked watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because Ein Chazaka Linizakin, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that bloodletters were drawing blood in their property under the shade of Rav Yosef's palm trees, and crows would come to consume the blood and then fly up to the trees and dirty the dates with blood. Rav Yosef said, rid me of this crowing, draw blood elsewhere. Abaya asked that their action is a mere grama, and Rav Yosef replied that damaging is forbidden even through grama. Abaya asked that they establish a chazaka, having done so for 3 years. Rav Yosef responded that Rav Bar Avuah replied, ain chazak min nizakin. There is no chazaka for damage, meaning he has no right to continue damaging. So the boys getting bloody playing Kugelach under a date tree, where a bloodletter worked, watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because Ein Chazaka Linizakin, and heard one of the bloodletter's clients disclose that he had no idea how a seller had obtained the rights to keep a dovecot so close to town. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that a dovecot must be distanced 50 amos from a city and from other people's property so the doves don't eat their produce. The Mishnah concludes, if he purchased property with a dovecot from its previous owner, a fuel base rova, even if the surrounding area is only a quarter kav, haruch bechazkasko, it retains its chazaka to be in this proximity. So the boys getting bloody playing Kugelach under a date tree where a bloodletter worked, watched a rabbi chase away crows during his dates because Ein Chazaka Linizakin, and heard one of the bloodletter's clients disclose that he had no idea how his seller had obtained the rights to keep a dovecote so close to town, and that the dove found nearby was his because it couldn't fly yet, and the principle of Rov Bakarov doesn't apply to it, which reminds us, the Gemara compares the relative strength of falling Rov, majority, and Karov, proximity. V'chinina said, Rov Bakarov hochinach harov. In a case where a ruling based on majority and proximity would be in conflict, we follow the majority. Although the principles of Rov Bakarov are both deraisa, of Yilachi Ruba Adif, even so majority is stronger. He's challenged from the Mishnah, Nipon Nimso Batoch Hamishim Amma. If a young bird was found within 50 amas of a dovecote, it belongs to the dovecote's owner. This seems to apply even if there's a larger dovecote further away, yet we assume it came from the closer one. The Gemara ultimately answers the Mishnah's case is a bird which hops and cannot yet fly, because Rav Ukva Bar Chama said that a hopping bird does not hop further than 50 amas. Therefore, it's known to be from the dovecote within 50 amas and not the larger one further away. Daf Chav Dalad. So the similar Daf Chav Dalad is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. The huge sculpture of a glass pitcher, that must be more on Daf Chav Dalad. Kud. The huge sculpture of a glass pitcher of blood titled When Robu Matsui, no one says Karov, which reminds us, Abai presents a mission to prove Rabbi Chinina's ruling that Rov overrides Karov. Damsha Nimsa Beprozor, blood was found in the canal of a woman's body. Sveiko Tame, its unknown status is ruled definitely Tame, meaning she's definitely Anita, Shechezkasu Mina Makor, because it's assumed to have originated from the uterus and not the Aliyah, the upper chamber. Despite the fact that the Li is physically closer to the Prozdor. Rava answers, Rova Matsui Kamras, you speak about a case which is both majority and frequent. Not only is there more blood in the Makor, but blood commonly flows from the Makor to the prosor, but not from the Aliyah. Rov Matzvi Leikol Manda Amar Karov. In a case where both Rov and frequency oppose Karov, no one says to follow Karov. So the huge sculpture of a glass pitcher of blood titled When Rov Matzvi, No One Says Karov, placed right next to a sycamore tree that was planted 50 amos from the city in order to beautify the city, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Marchikin es ha'ilo min ha'ir esim v'chamish amah. One must distance a tree 25 amos from a city. A carob or sycamore tree, which have many branches, must be distanced 50 amos. Avashul says all barren trees must be distanced 50 amos. Who explains the reason for the Mishnah's law, Mishum noy ha'ir, for the city's beautification. A space of open land enhances the city's beauty. So the huge sculpture of a glass pitcher of blood titled When Rov Matzvi, No One Says Karov, placed right next to a sycamore tree that was planted 50 amos from the city in order to beautify the city, was bought by a tree owner who was compensated when his tree was cut down since his tree preceded the city, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the city preceded the tree, it's cut down and the owner of the tree is not compensated. However, if the tree preceded the city, kotzeitz v'nosen damim, he must cut it down and the city pays compensation since it was planted legally. Daf Chaf Hei, so the Simmer Daf Chaf Hei is the 25th silver anniversary. So here goes. The 25th silver anniversary dinner. 25th silver anniversary? That must mean we're on Daf Chaf Hei. The 25th silver anniversary dinner that was held so the husband and wife could watch the sun bow towards the west, where the Shekhinah always rests, which reminds us, Rabbi Akiva describes the west as Tadira, constant. The Gemara explains it means Tadira b'Shekhinah, constant regarding the presence of the Shekhinah, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Bo menachas ketova le'avoseinu, come, let us show gratitude to our forefathers, Shehodia makom tefillah, who informed us of the direction of prayers. The pasuk says, Utzva shamayim v'cham shtachavim, and the heavenly legions bow to you, meaning the sun, moon, and stars bow towards the west. Rabbi Hoshaya holds, Shekhinah b'kol makom, the Shekhinah is everywhere. So the 25th silver anniversary dinner that was held so the husband and wife could watch the sun bow towards the west, where the Shekhinah always rests, and was set on a new golden table on the north side of the yard in the direction the wealthy husband always davened, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Harotze Sheyachim Yadrim, one who wants to become wise should face south when he davens, V'sheyashir Yatzpin, and if he wants to become wealthy, he should face north. He gives the symmetry, remember the directions, in the base of Migdash, the Shulchan, which held the Lechem Abanim, symbolizing sustenance, was on the north side of the Heichal, and the menorah, symbolizing Torah wisdom, was on the south side. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said, Lo'om Yadrim, one should always face south, because by becoming wise, he will also become wealthy. So the 25th silver anniversary dinner that was held so the husband and wife could watch the sun bow towards the west, where the Shekhinah always rests, and was set on a new golden table on the north side of the yard in the direction the wealthy husband always davened, turned into a disaster when the wall of the yard collapsed from the vibrations of the sesame seed pressers, who according to all opinions should have worked further away, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi holds one may plant a tree near a neighbor's pit, but agrees, Begudi Dei, regarding his arrows, where the damage is direct, that the Mazik must distance himself. Therefore, Rav Ashi required sesame seed pressers to move because the vibrations from the pressing caused someone's mansion to tremble. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step do you learn that foot traffic between walls is beneficial to a wall as it strengthens the ground underneath? That's on Dav. Chavbeis. Good. Number two. Which daf do we machokas whether the Shekhinah rests in the west or is everywhere? That's on daf. Chavhei. Good. Number three. Which daf do we learn Yeshua ben Gamliel prevented Torah from being forgotten by instituting that chadarim should be established in every city? That's on daf. Chavav. Good. Number four. Which daf do we learn in the case of Rov Matzvi, no one says Karov? That's on daf. Chavdal. Good. Number five. Which of the one that Ul holds a tree within 16 amos of the boundary is a gazlan and therefore a putter from Bikurim? That's on Dav. Chavav. Good. Number six. Which of the one Rav Ashi required sesame seed pressers to move because the vibrations from the pressing caused someone's mansion to tremble? That's on Dav. Chavhei. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we discuss who owns the roots which extend into someone else's property? That's on Dav. Chavav. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we discuss whether one can open a new bathhouse next to a pre-existing bathhouse? That's on daf. Chavav. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we discuss whether one must move away from beating flags if the chaff is flying off and harming people? That's on daf. Chavav. Good. Number ten. Which daf do we discuss rov and karov and the case of a hopping bird? That's on daf. Chav Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Yoram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.